John Marjoba Berlin. This is TheBeatlePod.com coming to you from our studios, temporary studios in Mitte. Today is Thursday, the 5th of July, 2012. On this date in 1830, France invades Algeria. In 1853, Cecil Rhodes, British Africa guy, is born. In 1940, Chuck Close, the incredibly handsome American painter and photographer who looks like me, is born. In 1954, the BBC broadcasts its first television news bulletin. In 1969, Tom Mboya, Kenyan politician, was assassinated, one of the many assassinations in Africa of democratic leaders that would end up changing the course of the continent, very sadly. By the way, Barack Obama's father saw him shortly before he was murdered and testified at the trial. In 1975, Cape Verde gains its independence from Portugal. In 1996, Dolly the sheep becomes the first mammal cloned from an adult cell. In 2006, Ken Lay of Enron fame, air quotes, dies. In 2009, a series of violent riots broke out in Urumqi, the Western China hub, where there are direct flights from Tbilisi. Today, it is me, and only me. Big changes in the government. The Minister of Internal Affairs, Vano Medavashvili, was appointed Prime Minister, while the Minister of Defense, Bacho Akhalaya, became the Interior Minister. The story is that many in the ministry are not so crazy about Bacho, so it took some time to announce that. A lot of the heads of departments and some of the deputies have left. All of this is going to be organized and announced later on. Chotek Utiashvili has left as well, reportedly, but there are lots of rumors around now, not so clear yet. The head of the administration said that that it's going to be announced, I think, on Friday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon. Misha said just before the Interior Ministry, just as before, the Interior Ministry needs a strong hand, but with a human vision and democratic views. Bacho Akhalaya has been mentioned in WikiLeaks a couple of times. According to the cables, the United States and NATO diplomats expressed concerns over Akhalaya's appointment as Minister of Defense, noting his poor human rights record during his service as Chief of the Penitentiary Service. For those who don't know, while he was head of the Penitentiary Service, that was the period in which Georgia really got rid of the thieves-in-law, which is a sort of mafia that was very, very important in Georgia for a long time and throughout the Soviet Union, but especially in Georgia. And the thieves-in-law really, he really sort of broke them. The way in which it was done was pretty brutal and pretty illegal, but the fact that they are now gone is really, or at least gone in the day-to-day life of Georgia, is really of great benefit in terms of fighting crime and this and that. A lot of them are still in jail, but there's probably some pretty serious vendettas on Akhalaya, so it's going to be very... I mean, he has to go around with a lot of bodyguards and, you know, and that sort of thing. on October 10, 2009, confidential cable sent to Alexander Vershbo, the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense, ahead of his visit to Georgia. The U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi described Akhalaya as the most active defense minister in terms of seeking advice from the U.S. defense advisors and then following through with it. He was further noted for being, unlike his predecessor, unafraid to make decisions and genuinely interested in making reforms designed to make the armed forces GAF better, whatever GAF is. But, you know, in general, the U.S. Embassy seems to have liked him. Bacho Akhalaya's father is a chief prosecutor in Samegrelo and is widely considered to be the guy in charge of the region. Bacho himself was very often in Samegrelo's regional news with stories about how he'd show up hammered at this or that restaurant and yell at the waiters, etc. The stories were always denied. The previous ombudsman, Sosar Subadi, also accused him of provoking a riot in 2006 in Ortachala prison. Bacho's brother, Data Akhalaya, is the head of the Constitutional Department of the Ministry of Interior, which is a very sort of influential kind of internal militia. It's called Kudi. But Data Akhalaya resigned after Bacho's appointment. He was also involved in the murder of Sandro Ghirgliani, which you may have heard about, which is a very high-profile murder involving senior people in the Interior Ministry some time back. other changes in the ministry of other changes in the cabinet. The Minister of Education, Dima Shashkin, has become Minister of Defense. Misha said he is one of the best patriots, a generator of ideas, and an experienced manager who would bring in new ideas for reforms in the defense sector. He used to be head of IRI, the International Republican Institute, in Georgia. There's NDI, the National Democratic Institute, which is connected to the Democratic Party, IRI connected to the Republican Party. Since 2009, he has worked directly for the government. Newly appointed head of the Examination Center, Khatia Dekanowidze, became Minister of Education. She was formerly head of the Police Academy. Koba Subeliani left the Ministry of Refugees and IDPs, and Dali Homeriki became the minister. As some of you will know, she used to work for the U.S. Embassy for many years, and is originally from Abkhazia. A new position of the State Minister of Employment was created. Businessman and CEO of the construction company Caucasus Road Project, Pata Trapaidze, became the minister. This company got lots and lots of building contracts, and it looks as if the focus is going to be, rather than on entrepreneurship and that sort of thing, will be focused on shovel-ready type of projects, at least according to what Medabashvili said in Parliament the other day. Among other things, he will create a database of unemployed people, something that Medabashvili mentioned. By the way, TI Georgia live tweeted Medabashvili's conversation in Parliament, which you can find on Storify if you're interested. Take a look at that; it's quite interesting. The Parliament has allocated almost $1 million to the new ministry. The program of the new cabinet is called, quote, more benefits to the people, end quote. Bono promised 1,000 lari vouchers for each family. Democracy and Freedom Watch has more on this somewhat more leftist program of the government. Also in Georgian Journal, the Kvitis Politra run English language newspaper, I have an editorial about advice for the new government in dealing with their three priorities of agriculture, health, and jobs. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that at the time when Vano was not yet confirmed as prime minister, the government proposed a bill to parliament to increase the authority of the prime minister. Parliament passed it at the first hearing. According to the bill, the rules for how the government makes decisions will be defined by government regulation rather than by law. The prime minister will be given the right to transfer the right to delegate authorities defined by the new regulations. This from Tbilpod.com's chief political analyst in London, owner of a cherry red chocha, Will Dunbar. And I quote, I'm inclined to subscribe. I could do the accent, but, you know, that would just be horrible. I'm inclined to subscribe to the view that by appointing such a powerful man to the post of prime minister, Misha is indicating he won't take the job himself. I may be wrong, and there may be a Vano-Misha switch job before the presidential election, but it seems less likely. More interesting is what Vano said when he was appointed. Obviously his program, and of course Will spells it P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E, just to tell everybody he's English. His program is designed to one-up Bidzina's, but the lame excuse of, we didn't really know anything about employment, would be a guaranteed election loser in any normal country. They have been in office for almost a decade. They have not created any jobs, and they are only getting around to it now? I wonder if Vano realized what a damning indictment he was giving of the failings of the government he had been a key part of. Cutting Subeliani is also interesting. At one point, he was the most popular minister in the government, but that goodwill has been totally squandered. He was the only big name to go. Did Vano find real evidence of wrongdoing at the Ministry of IDPs and Refugees from the occupied territories? I wonder. But really the biggest news here is Bacha, whose appointment as Interior Minister I think is a terrible mistake. The Interior Ministry, for all of its successful reforms, is part of a criminal justice machine that turns suspects into defendants, into convicts, 99.98% of the time. Akhalai is not going to help with that problem. His family background is prosecution, and his record is spotty, to say the least. From his actions as head of the prison ministry in 2005 and 2006 to the way the Mukhrovani mutiny was handled, Hakalaya has demonstrated that he will not be the minister that stops innocent people from going to prison, and that is what Georgia needs. The other big risk is that the huge might of the MIA, Ministry of Interior, could be brought to bear on the elections in some way. If that is a plan, then there is no one better than Hakalaya to execute it. Overall, I could live with the Prime Minister Metabashvili and bear in mind that after the new constitution comes into effect, the Interior and defense briefs will be under the Prime Minister and not the President. So Vano could just get rid of Hakalaya when the time comes. The real issue still remains unaddressed. There are dozens of young, keen people who want political advancement within the government and the national movement, and there is no extra room at the top after this reshuffle. How this gets handled is going to be interesting. So that's from Will. I would agree with everything. I mean, in terms of job creation, I don't know how much power government has to create jobs. What the government has the power to do is hand out cash. That may be tied to some sort of, cash for work program. But how much Georgia really needs that, I'm not sure. I mean, there are a lot of advantages, certainly political advantages before an election, to handing out cash. Whether any roads will actually get built or any infrastructure will actually happen is less clear. There's a lot of make work right now in the Interior Ministry anyway, in terms of all of these various guards that are, that are employed, that, stand around, essentially. That's essentially a make work program. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just not sure whether that's, what really needs to be done and what their patience will be for it after the elections. But, remember, after the parliamentary elections, in a year there's presidential elections, and having job creation is a convenient way to be handing out cash, which has already started with all of these various scholarships and summer job programs and whatever else. We'll just have to look at what the government debt figures look like, in the week after the presidential elections. I would agree with that regarding Hakalaya. He's not a big rule of law guy. I hear mixed things about him in defense. Some people say that he was, he was a pretty good minister. The U.S. Embassy seems to have liked him, according to a bunch of leaked documents. But, on the other hand, it's not really clear what the Minister of Defense, does right now. Okay, there's the ISAF Afghanistan project, which is important, but it's not politically particularly important. It's quite interesting that Shashkin was moved there. I mean, I think what Shashkin did at the Education Ministry was the mandateurs, or as the ministry prefers to call them, resource officers, which are young people with Interior Ministry training that now sort of control the schools. They, in some cases, have replaced directors, and they are the instrument through which the ministry controls the schools. Other than that, most of what he did was centralization, and frankly, a lot of it quite destructive. I mean, the teacher assessment situation has now been brought into the fold, and the ministry is significantly centralizing. If there are any reforms other than that, I don't know what they are. Here's an unofficial list of majoritarian candidates that the national movement is running in some Tbilisi constituencies. In Samgori, Misha Machavadiani, former deputy head of parliament, and also the revenue minister in Shevardnadze's government. He's one of the few that was in Shevardnadze's government. In fact, I think he's the only person that was in the executive under Shevardnadze, was a part of Zhivanya's team, and stayed in the new government, well, actually the parliament, and is now squarely with Misha's team, and in fact was the I'm not sure the head secretary general of the national movement. In Kurtzanisi or Isani will be Adeshvili's deputy. Georgi Vashadze has been very involved in the public civil registry and justice houses. Sabar Talo, former minister of health, Urushadze in Adzaladevi. Zal Samadashvili, the Sakrabulo chair, because we know the Sakrabulo has done so much. In Didube, Gia Baramidze will be running to take back his old seat there. National Bureau of Enforcement put up for auction the assets of Ivanishvili, which they seized last week. Some of that was Kartu, which supposedly Ivanishvili doesn't own anymore, but or at least that's what he says. Parties entering the coalition Georgian Dream have to pay a fine, which the Chamber of Control imposed on the 4th of July. After the fine deadline expires, the National Bureau of Enforcement might seize their accounts as well. Great. Chief Prosecutor's Office started an investigation of vote buying by the Kartu Foundation. Kartu transferred 16,300 lari to Ushangi Kutsunashvili 3 days after he entered Georgian Dream. I don't know if that's any relation to Zakari Kutsunashvili, who's also part of Georgian Dream and handling their election observation effort. Ivanishvili had a protest rally in Mtskheta where he told people that, of course, there were some faults in the government under Shevardnadze, but this government has made it systematic. Yeah, I don't know whether that's a real vote winner talking about, how, yeah, sure, Shevardnadze had a few faults, but, I don't know whether that comparison is going to be so useful for at least swing voters. Father Iob, this is the priest that called Russian bombs presents from God, came and talked to the people before Ivanishvili entered the stage. Afterwards, Ivanishvili was asked by a journalist how he felt with Iob coming to address the people, meaning that everybody hates his guts, and Ivanishvili said that it was a huge honor for him. Bidzina also told Kavkasia, and I quote, "We must build democratic institutions very fast, on which we will found a very interesting state, so that living here will be very interesting, as it was in times during the Soviet Union." Which is weird. Interesting? You want to build something interesting? It's like the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. I'm not sure what he was thinking there, hearkening back to the Soviet Union. There'll be another rally on the 15th of July in Gori. The Kakheti Information Center lists all the priests who have participated in Bidzina's campaign rallies and shows a decree that the church made in 2003 saying priests were not allowed to support any party and that goes against our Orthodox Church doctrine. The Holy Synod held a meeting today. It's not known what they discussed, but Orthodox parents were requested to make decisions regarding ID cards and biometric passports. These ID cards and biometric passports are much discussed among the more befuddled of the clergy, saying that they're satanic or I don't know what. 73 people were hospitalized due to a chlorine leak in Lilo Settlement. That's out toward past the airport. It's near the big wholesale market of Tbilisi. Most of them are already out of the hospital, but two remain in serious condition. The owner of the company which owned the chlorine container has been detained for questioning. Wonder how that relates to investors in the environmental regulation saying that anybody who breaks any environmental laws won't have to worry about it. Any businesses. Since Sakartvelo is the 51st state, the European Parliament debated the situation in Georgia on the 4th of July, with much of the focus made on Ivanishvili and Georgian Dream Kartulios Neba party. Over a dozen MEPs spoke during the debates. Reportedly, this was organized by Bidzina's lobbyists, but several MEPs spoke up for Misha. Much more from civil.ge on this. Misha was chatting with Vano Medavashvili before the live press conference at which the announcement of the new prime minister was made. And Maestro evidently had a live camera on the discussion, and Misha used some colorful language to say things about Bidzina's lobbyists getting what they deserved and that the EU had stood behind them. Wilfried Martens, the ex-prime minister of Belgium, published a letter in Le Monde saying that Western groups are being flooded with Bidzina's money and he is trying to enter politics with Russia's help and with vote buying. TI Georgia, the hardest working NGO in Georgia, has a new blog post in which it describes how state employees at different ministries are given different tasks related to the elections, the most common of which seems to be making lists of supporters of the national movement. This week, NDI has been conducting interviews with people connected to the upcoming elections. The latter released a report saying that NDI is, quote, concerned about the growing political polarization of the country and the vilification of political adversaries has become commonplace, end quote. Not end quote yet. Moreover, hate speech against religious and ethnic minorities can still be found in Georgian campaign rhetoric, end quote. Civil.ge reports that the OSCE plans to send 350 short-term and 29 long-term election observers in addition to a core term of experts. The big question is when. Long-term observers of IRI will arrive in Georgia on the 18th. Long-time observers of IRI, the International Republic Institute, will arrive in Georgia on the 18th of July. Let's hope that works out. The U.S. government has allocated $2 million U.S. dollars to NDI and IRI for monitoring of the parliamentary elections. That is a gigantic election observation effort. A shame they didn't put more money into domestic election observation. The NATO Secretary General will visit Georgia in September. The President of the European Council, Herman Van Rompuy, was visiting Tbilisi during a regional tour. He met with Misha, Chairman of Parliament, Dato Bakradze, and visited the EUMM, the European Union Monitoring Mission, and, of course, talked about the importance of elections. UN General Assembly adopted a draft resolution on Abkhazia, South Ossetia, proposed by the Georgian side despite Russia's protest. The resolution stressed the need of the return of IDPs and refugees to their homes. Deputy Permanent Representative of the Russian Federation to the UN, Alexander Pankin, stated before voting, the draft resolution, quote, complicates the already fragile process of the Geneva discussions, end quote, because the Geneva discussions show so much promise. Yeah, he didn't say that. I said that. Anyway, unidentified people opened gunfire on the former state security chief of de facto South Ossetia. He was in a car together with his son and one other person. He and his son are in critical condition. Anatoly Biblov, the head of de facto emergency situations ministry in de facto South Ossetia, plans to set up a de facto South United Ossetian political party. Fidis Politra published something from an Azeri news agency according to which Georgia was supplying Azerbaijan with armament prior to the war in 2008. The newspaper said that in total, Georgia sold arms worth $108 million U.S. dollars to Azerbaijan. I mean, I know Azerbaijan is arming itself to the teeth, but I'm not sure why they would buy from Georgia. That seems a little nutty to me, but okay, anyway. According to the decision of the Constitutional Court, foreigners, foreign citizens, non-Georgian passport holders, and foreign companies can now buy agricultural land. Ivanishvili owned Channel 9 had a story on it saying it is dangerous to sell land to foreigners because they will be able to buy land which local farmers are using and that in many countries this is illegal. I don't want to be pointing out a trend or anything, but there do seem to be more and more relatively anti-foreigners, xenophobic, inward-looking comments from people connected with the Georgian dream. Interesting to see that Channel 9 is now doing that. I'm not saying that there can't be a discussion about foreigners owning land or not. You know, certainly the Chinese are busy buying up a lot of Africa. But in this case, I'm just pointing out a trend. Former building of TV company Maestro was robbed, and with the loss makes up 2 million lari, according to Ilya Kikabidze, the director general of Maestro, as he said to media.ge. Misha criticized the former head of the examination center that we discussed earlier, Maya Mivanishvili, and her team for having huge salaries and working 1 month a year and then doing nothing. Mivanishvili responded by saying that he's been giving them medals of honor and is now humiliating them, and his criticisms are unjust because they worked hard. TS Press reports that Mivanishvili's salary was 8,000 lari, which is more than Misha's. At the teacher assessment center where Maya Mivanishvili worked, the following changes happened when she left. First, they brought in 100 new people who were immediately involved in assessments with no training, which seems a little ridiculous. I guess that's part of the new Hire Everybody program. Also, it used to be that there would be two individual assessors who wouldn't know what the other assessor was writing about a particular teacher. But that is no longer the case. They now see the assessments of the other, which is obviously not a particularly good thing to do. That change is quite interesting. I hope somebody asked the new Minister of Education, Ms. Dekanoidze, why that change was made in the brief weeks that she was head of the assessment center. Also, the things used to be blind so that the assessors didn't know the name of the teacher that they were assessing. They're still officially blind, but there's a barcode on each one of the things, and the Ministry of Education now, let's be honest, has control of being able to match the names to the barcodes, and they had already made proposals about having that that information. So the Ministry of Education is now going to know which teachers they are assessing. So hopefully some enthusiastic investigative journalists will be able to run the cross tabs on which teachers are fired and how these particular polling stations vote in the parliamentary elections, and whether there's any political motivation there. Georgia and the European Free Trade Association, EFTA, have entered into a declaration on cooperation in trade and investment. The International Development Association, IDA, of the World Bank will provide Georgia with a long-term preferential loan of $43 million U.S. dollars for the construction of the East-West Highway. Why is that thing being built so slowly? Can somebody answer that? I mean, they really haven't built very much of that thing. If you drive from Tbilisi west, I mean, the fancy part of it is not particularly big, and they've been doing it forever. I'm just wondering about that. Not that I'm saying that they ought to, you know, build the thing in 4 months to Kutaisi. I mean, do it right, but I don't know. I'm just wondering about that. Lozica constitutional changes passed, according to which lawmakers will have to adopt an organic law to define the special status of the not-yet-built Lozica. They have not yet drafted the organic law. There's a lot of conversation about that. Should it be under British law or some new type of law? The idea is this is part of the libertarian dream of, well, if we build some new place where there's sort of some different special open regime or something like that, then a lot of international business people will get interested in it. I'm not sure whether that's the case, but anyway. Batumi City Hall will spend 150,000 lari on bicycle tracks in Batumi. The Alphabet Tower of Batumi was transferred to be under the control of the Boulevard administration, so finally it's known who the owner of that building is. Rustavi II used to broadcast Cludietti from it at 3 o'clock. The Italian air carrier Alitalia, does that still exist anymore? Didn't they go bankrupt? I guess not. They're launching flights between Rome and Tbilisi. Yoo-hoo. It will be flying twice a week. Round-trip tickets are 380 euros. The Iranian company ATA Airlines started to fly to Batumi. They'll be flying to Tehran on Mondays and Thursdays during the summer. Tbilisi City Hall is building two new social residential houses. Construction of the three-story buildings will be finished in December and provide flats for 24 socially vulnerable families. There is one more McDonald's in Tbilisi, bringing the grand total, as far as I know, to 3. It is on Tsedateli Avenue, I presume, in Didube. And for football fans, Tbilisi will be hosting the 2015 UEFA Super Cup. I kind of know what UEFA is, but I don't know what the Super Cup is. If anybody else does, let us know. Tomorrow night, Friday at 8 p.m. At Colga and Domkino, across from the old McDonald's at Rustaveli Metro, will be The Artist, which won Academy Awards and is supposed to be cool. And notice at the very beginning of it, there is a Georgian connection. So don't be late and see if you can spot the Georgian connection. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tblpod@gmail.com. That's tblpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum at our website, which is www.tblpod.com. Kelbata nebo da bata nebo mezo blebo da mego brebo kelbata nebo utchwe lebo da amchana gebo kalakebo. It is July, which means it is time to get out. So leave, head outside of town, outside of your comfort zone. Just get out. Today we will finish with J.J. Cale of the Oklahoma City Cales from 1972 with Call Me the Breeze. Keep low and flow.
one.